Let's go. Tattoo chill on my ass.
I'd be honored to tattoo chill on your ass.
So I never remind myself to chill, only people I'm sleeping with.
Yeah, only whoever is lucky enough to see your butt crack.
Exactly.
Welcome to Cash in the Creepies. Today I'm very super fangirl excited to welcome Phoebe Bridgers. Thank you so much for being on here.
I'm so excited. I'm such a fan. This is so fun. Oh,
same. I'm such a fan, and this is like such an awkward time of life, but
oh my gosh,
I'm like really grateful you came on here. I'm super excited to talk to you.
It's so fun.
Do you believe in the supernatural?
I think I want it too badly. Like, yes, but I feel like nothing has ever shown itself to me because I want it so bad, you know? Like, I have like liminal space supernatural feelings every once in a while, but I want to see a ghost in my house so bad that I've never seen one, you know?
Well, I found out my brother's helping to record this podcast, but he's like off on the side where we can't see him. But I thought I like had a full supernatural experience in my house, and turns out he was just fucking with me for the TV show that we were on. So I've been telling everyone around the world that I've had this crazy wild ghost experience, and it was all bullshit.
Wow.
So I'm kind of pissed.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that stuff happens to me. Like, I actually wrote some lyrics about it once, but I was driving up the coast, and there was a SpaceX launch that I didn't know about. So it was this big, like, glowing orb in the sky, and I was like, this is the moment I've been waiting for my whole life. Like, aliens are showing themselves to me, and then it turned out to be SpaceX, and I was so bummed.
Well, Demi Lovato told me that she has, like, a whole series of ways that you can go to the desert and attract extraterrestrial life. So if you're ever interested, I want to go try.
So interested. So interested. Same. Wow.
Well, I'm obsessed with aliens a little bit.
Yeah.
And you were singing about aliens in a song I was listening to last night. So I was like, I wonder if she's ever seen them or she believes in them, or I think they're fully about to show themselves.
I love that optimism. I feel like they're either things that we can't even perceive of as real or so far away that we'll never see them. I just feel like the chances in the universe that they're like, you know, that they seem relatable at all to human beings, that they would have any desire to come mess with us, is so otherworldly. But I hope so. Like, I mean, that's what that song is about. The song about aliens is like, I want it so bad that I can't even believe it for myself, you know?
Yeah, because if you believe it too hard, it's almost like, I love animals. You love animals. So when you're in the wild with an animal and you want it too bad, I feel like they can sense the desperation and then they like fuck off. So you have to like, you have to like chill and just like let it happen. And like, then they'll come maybe like hang out with you. So that's what I'm trying to do with the supernatural, is I'm being like, by the way, I'm trying to chill. I have no chill, but I'm trying. So just come like, give yourself to me. Show yourself.
Totally. Yeah, I want to live in that world so badly. I just like, I'm so desperate for something interesting in my life to happen.
Well, yeah, same. I've been really, really bored. How is your court? I mean, you put out a record that was nominated for a million Grammys and is amazing. It's been the soundtrack of my quarantine. But how is quarantine for you?
It's cool. Like, I'm glad that I had something to focus on that I'd already finished, because I wasn't feeling super creative, and I was definitely in and out of the same depressive episode the whole time. So having press every day was both mind numbing and boring, but also like a reason to get up and a reason to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
Especially in the beginning of COVID, like, interviewers would be like, I love your record. How are you? Like, what have you been watching? Yeah, like genuinely being like, oh, should I watch that? Like, everybody was actually talking to each other, which was fun. But yeah, how was yours?
Super weird, I have to say. Really super, super weird. And Yeah, I had like a crazy spiritual moment in the middle of it that I like didn't want to have. Like when it was happening, I was like, I don't want this. I don't want this. Get away from me. And then I made this podcast because I was like, I wonder if other artists and just people around the world, I just want to talk to them about like the unexplainable or spiritual or kind of whatever, the thing that you can't, the intangible in the world.
Yeah.
Is just made its way to being at the top of my priority list. And I just like, I've been listening to your record a lot and selling my clothing. And what else have I been doing? Making a record also?
Yes.
But yes. It's just been so weird.
It's so weird. Yeah. I think it's been hard to write music for me because I'm so used to taking my unique perspective for granted and having my, like living in my own personal misery and having such a collective shared experience and trauma with the world is like, what do I have to say about this?
Yeah. You know? And like, how do I say it? Because we're all dealing with it. So like, it's not a unique experience to me. Like, we're all living in this crazy fucked moment.
Exactly.
And then I wonder, because, like, I'm a total escapist. Like, my music has always been, I've always thought of it as, like, a great escape for people to get out of the misery.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're in a pandemic stuck at home alone, it's kind of hard to write about fun shit when you can't go anywhere or do anything.
Yeah, well, I always write about, I think it's Gore Vidal who's like, he is in Italy and he says, I always write about America when I'm in Italy and Italy when I'm in America.
Yeah.
And so it's just hard to write about any experience if you've had none basically for a year.
Totally. Like, except for being like alone.
Yeah.
And wanting a spaceship to come abduct you and take you fucking somewhere, anywhere else.
Totally.
Do you think that life's going to go back? This is more just, I'm curious. Do you think life's going to go back to how it was pre-pandemic, or do you think it's going to be a whole new, different world?
All I'll say is there's some stuff that I won't want to come back, like excessive touching from strangers.
Oh my God, same.
Like the lower back hug, I am not going to miss. You know what I mean? Like when, like, and I feel like this whole time has protected me from that side of people's personalities. Like I'll meet someone virtually. And then normally in normal life, I meet someone, I talk to them and they're totally normal. And then they do like one weird physical thing. And I'm just like, ew, like I hate you. So this is like, it makes me like people more, not having the obligatory, even handshakes. I'm like, I love being physically affectionate with my friends, but I kind of like the like polite hello wave now.
I do too.
And also with fans, I don't know if you've been, you know, out enough to get like recognized with your mask on and stuff, but when people like would normally like come up and like hug you really hard without your permission, like I do kind of like the like, hey, oh my gosh, I like your music. Like it's just more polite. It's more.
It is.
Yeah.
I have a weird phobia of stinky fingers. Like I really dislike smelly fingers. And I've had a lot of people grab my face with stinky hands in my life, unfortunately. I think that's where the phobia came from.
Yeah.
And not present company excluded. Everybody here has great fingers. Okay. But I don't miss having someone with a stinky finger put it on my face.
Yeah. And I feel like people hear me talk about that and sometimes they're like, well, you just don't like your fans or whatever. I'm like, no, like most of the people I meet are normal, but then there's one person who can ruin it for you. Like there's one person with no boundaries who like comes up and scares the shit out of you. And you're like, now I don't want to talk to anybody normal because you ruined it.
Right. I totally have that. And like you stuck your stinky finger on my face and then you kissed my mouth and I don't know your name. And now I have to like ask you about your dental hygiene. It gets so awkward with the boundary thing. So I feel you 100%.
Yeah, there's just this wall, even emotionally, like I don't have a great relationship with my dad and it's been a couple years since we talked, but then during COVID we like talked on the phone and I was like, oh, it's because there's this pre-existing boundary of like, you're not going to come like stay with me or we're not going to like, it's not going to go farther than like a heart-to-heart phone call, like, that's it. I think I fear, like, the aftermath of that type of intimacy, so.
Like, the intimacy without boundaries. It's really weird you're saying that, because I was just talking about that for like the past 2 hours. I'm terrible at boundaries. Absolutely horrible.
It feels like hatred. Like, setting boundaries feels like I'm being mean. And then I'll show my friends like a totally reasonable text I sent someone, got an unreasonable response, and they're like, dude, you're being so normal. Like,
but why is it so hard to be normal?
It's so hard. I half of my notes on my phone are like lyrics or little ideas or grocery lists, but at least half are totally normal, reasonable sounding texts setting a very low-key boundary.
Like, I'm gonna start doing that.
It's all my texts are just like drafting. Like
do you send it to people to like see if it's normal sounding?
Totally.
I do too.
Yeah. I've sent screenshots of a whole text conversation like accidentally to the person. That's the worst. Like with
technology is so sketchy.
It's so sketchy. With no text, just sent the screenshot back of our conversation to the person. They're like, what the fuck, dude?
Oh, that's the nightmare. I've definitely like accidentally voice memoed myself being like, they're being fucking crazy, and then somebody's like, oh shit.
I have a friend who was shitting and accidentally sent a voice memo.
Oh no.
Yeah.
That's the nightmare. That's going to be my nightmare tonight. Thank you. Yeah. That's the worst.
It's like, no.
Well, that's a nightmare. That's terrifying. But I feel like with everyone being so on their phones and accessible, that's one of the reasons I took Twitter off of my phone. Because you should never drink and post anything to anything.
Yeah.
I learned that the hard way, and I've done it like so many times. But you also probably shouldn't be high. I've done that a lot too, because I think I'm being so funny, and then the next day, in the light of not being stoned, I'm like, now I'm just embarrassed of myself, and I'm going to delete it and pretend like it never happened.
Yeah, I think trying to be funny and failing is my nightmare. You know what I mean? Like people being like, "This is," or like targeting me specifically as millennial because I make like a Harry Potter joke or something. I'm like, damn it! Like you're so right. Like that is my whole humor. It's like sad girl, like humor, and then I get called out for it. I'm so embarrassed.
I think, I don't know. I haven't fleshed out this idea, so I don't know if I stand behind it, but I'm going to say it. But I, again, don't know if I stand behind it. I think what makes some of my favorite artists are the people that dare to be the most embarrassing. Like you go for something and it's like really rides a line of like, that could have really not landed, but it landed so fucking hard because you dared to like go there. But then there are the times it doesn't land. And then I'm just like, because I try to like dare to be the most embarrassing version of myself, which maybe isn't like a great.
No, I have the exact same thing. I love it. I love it. I think the only times that I've ever regretted it is when I step on a conversation I'm not really invited to, or like accidentally sound super privileged just because I like the internet and songwriting for its like word vomit. Like all you have to do is tell the truth and someone will relate to you. And if you're embarrassing, I could write a thesis about this.
Wait, tell me, please.
But like more than being queer, more than being whatever, I think that if I had watched more people as a kid be embarrassing, it would have saved me so much hardship and heartache. Like if I had looked up to people who were.
Did you watch my reality TV show? Because it's pretty fucking embarrassing. If you want to binge watch that, you'll get a fast track.
I should. I think my issue with reality TV, though, is when I see people in pain and, like, it's unresolved, I can't. Like, I tried to watch The Bachelor. I got, like, one episode in and was like, I'm so embarrassed for this person, or I'm so sad for this person, or so, like. Like, I feel everybody's emotion in reality TV so hard, I can't function. Even, like, Curb Your Enthusiasm and stuff, I'm like, I can't watch
like
this.
The cringy feeling?
Yeah.
I wrote a song about this the other day called Idiot Shivers. I realized my favorite emotion in all of the scope of humanity is when I get idiot shivers. Like, when you're seeing comedy that's just, like, really bad. I want to sit in the back of the room and get like want to crawl inside of my skin and die. And that's my favorite feeling.
See, I feel the opposite. I feel like when I see bad comedy, it takes years off my life. Because I'm, like, so embarrassed for the person. Even if the person's being, like, racist or sexist or homophobic, and, like, I should hate them, I still am, like, you idiot. Like, get off. Like, I still have this weird, like, savior, like, shut the fuck up feeling. And then it took me a long time to realize, like, it's their fault, like, that they're being an idiot.
And, like, some people, myself totally included, I just happen to have microphones around my face all the time, which I don't know if I should. I don't know if I should have a microphone, but you give anybody a microphone, they just say dumb shit into it, and you're like, that's embarrassing.
Yeah.
I'm, like, trying to figure out how to put this in a song of some sort, like, about how embarrassing I feel all the time.
Yeah. Yeah,
but then awesome. I'm also like, I think it's good for people to try to just shoot for the stars. Shoot for the stars, and if it doesn't land, at least you just try.
There is, like,
my motto.
There's an incredible TikTok that's like, it's a girl being like, I so badly want to be the mysterious girl in the corner of a cafe you think about for the rest of your life, but I can't shut the fuck up.
I relate to that so like hard.
That. I was like, I can't be mysterious. I can't shut the fuck up, ever. I have no, like, aura of mystery. It's just, like, constantly.
I feel like you seem very mysterious.
I really and, like, appreciate that.
Magical.
That's and, like, the best.
Cool as fuck. That's the vibe you give me. I'm just telling you.
I really, really appreciate that. Thank you.
So you are the mysterious girl, even if you don't know it. I tried to be the mysterious girl one time hanging out with my mom, and I was, like, sitting there, like, making moody faces and being quiet, and she's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, fine, it's not working.
That sounds like my mom. Yeah.
How was the Grammys?
So fun, but also not. It was like the whole time I was thinking, how fucking fun would this be if we could just all be in the same room? And it wasn't like, I think that it was so well organized. But it took away from the, like, week of parties or week of meeting people. And I had tons of friends there, and we were texting, like, hi, I'm on the other side of it. Like, let's get a yard drink sometime. Like, it just, it's definitely a memory. That's for sure. Which I appreciate. Yeah. Like, it was a very strange year to go to the Grammys, especially for the first time. But I can't wait for next time to, like, actually high five people and stuff.
Even though you'll be at them all the time. Earlier. I feel like it's the first of many.
Yeah, no, it'll be fun, and it was also, like, it was good to get one under my belt because I was so nervous, and it turned out super fun, and everybody was nice. So
I love that. Do you know the? I don't know why I think you would know them. I think you maybe went to the same school. Do you know the Higham girls?
Oh yeah, we did go to the same school.
Did you? Because I've been friends with them since I was 18 and I moved out to LA. So I was like, I have a feeling they went to the same school. I could That's be totally so cool. wrong.
Yeah, Alana was a senior when I was a freshman and we were both in opera.
Oh my God.
I thought she was so awesome, and she, like, wore baggy t-shirts and looked like a rock star, and I, like, stole one of my dad's t-shirts and was like, I look like that now.
So. I'm gonna look like her because she's cool. Oh God, exactly. I love that. It's so funny because she is a couple years younger than me. So she was, I was hanging out with her when she was like 14.
So funny.
I know. It's a trip. But
totally.
Anyway, I just figured you guys would probably know each other from like growing up in LA and stuff. Actual creepy questions. I read that you like serial killers. Mm-hmm. I'm also a big fan. Not a fan of serial killing, not promoting murdering in large amounts. Just saying, love to read about the work of serial killers. Who's your favorite serial killer? And, like, why are you obsessed with serial killing? I've been trying to figure this out about myself. I just, like, love it. I love reading about it.
Yeah, there's, like, this OCD thing. You become obsessed with not doing something, or obsessed with, like, the worst possible mental image or the worst, most violent act. And you're like, don't think about it, don't think about it, don't think about it. And then, of course, you think about it. You lose control and you think about it. And the only real way to conquer that is to think it and realize it has no power over you. And you're just like, okay, fuck you. Like, I am not my thoughts.
Yeah.
And so I used to think there was something wrong with me. But there's such, with the true crime wave, realizing that so many other people go through the same exact thing is awesome, and it normalizes it. And also, yeah, like the reframing,
we're not
it
like to, just sick fucks,
right? And reframing it in like an abolition standpoint, or like a non-romanticizing creepy white guys who kill people point of view. I think that the new true crime thing is awesome. That being said, my first favorite was Jeffrey Dahmer, because
same,
really,
I love just how creative. You know, like, I love a good creative murderer.
Yeah. I think he was my first favorite because he, like, Ted Bundy interviews make me want to kill myself because he's so fucking full of himself. He thinks he's so smart and such hot shit. And Dahmer is a pedophile, murderer, horrible person. And the way that he talks about himself is so clinical and weird, but it's not, it doesn't seem like he needs to be the center of attention, and he doesn't blame anything. He, like, Ted Bundy's like, ooh, I blame porn, and John Wayne Gacy is like, I blame the fucking parents for letting their kids run away, and Jeffrey Dahmer is like, I don't know what's up, I just, like, have always really wanted to do that stuff, and I did it. And it's just so creepy. Yeah, it's so creepy.
And then he eats the people.
Yeah, yeah.
Which to me is like, I don't know why I like that part so much. I wrote a song called Cannibal a long time ago. And I've always been fascinated with, like, cannibalism. I don't know what that is. But I know, I have no idea. But ever since I was little, I read about Jeffrey Dahmer, which maybe says something about my mother just, like, letting me read whatever the fuck I want. But I now have, like, made pilgrimages to where he stayed in Milwaukee and, like, tried to, like, conjure up his spirit in the room he stayed at. I'm just, like, kind of a sick fuck. But I find it really fascinating maybe that people just, like, get away with this shit and they're just – what? They're just people. I think people are so scary.
People are so scary. And I think he, along with a lot of other people, yeah, he got away with it for a long time, which is so fucked. Again, the cops, like, there's a 911 call you've probably heard with, where literally, like, a little boy escaped Dahmer's apartment.
Yes.
And the cops found him, and the cops are talking to each other, and one cop is like, oh, he was just a F slur. Like, so we sent him back. And then the little boy ended up dying. Because
I remember this.
They sent him back to the apartment. So the cops just let him slide. And I think that there is this through line of serial killers where they get more and more sloppy, like they want to get caught, which I think he even admitted to. But, like, the amount of shit that he got away with for so long is so fucked up. Like, literally just because they didn't care. They were like, I don't care what's happening to a gay couple, quote unquote, and not realizing it was a child. Like,
holy
so,
shit. I haven't
so
heard
rough.
This phone call. I'm going to listen to it now because I'm curious.
It's so dark.
It sounds very dark.
Yeah.
And again, disclaimer, don't murder people. We're just talking about stuff and things because we're people and we're stuck inside. Okay.
Yeah.
But I read this book about the Manson murders, and what fascinated me, I think, most was how he got other people to murder for him. And I was like, God, there must be some sort of charismatic side to this person. And that's what freaks me out the most, is that, like, not to get into politics, but, like, if you give somebody a microphone and a big ego and they speak like they have a big dick about something, there will be people that will be like, yeah, right on. I'm going to get on board with that.
Absolutely, especially if you shut down all the mental health institutions around, you know, California, and you're just like, all right, go off and self-medicate and find the loudest person who tells you what to do and where to stay and what to say and how to behave. Yeah, it's like every cult ever.
Yeah.
Also, yeah.
Which is also, I'm not a religious person. Are you religious?
Not at all.
Yeah, me neither. Which also, to me, like, the difference between a cult and religion, it's like, well, you're just giving us, like, instruction manual, like a book on how to be a person. A lot of that might be helpful and seemingly good ideas, some of these things you're saying I should do. But I don't really know the difference between a cult and a religion if they're both murdering other people that don't agree with them. So that's why I kind of opt out of all of it.
Yeah, totally. Well, I think it weirdly gives people a God complex if they follow the rules of life and they it's like a game or Scientology or anything. It's like, I want to get to the highest level of this thing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so true. It's like a video game.
Totally.
Do you play video games?
You know, I am afraid of what would happen to me if I played video games. I've definitely had romantic relationships with lots of people who play video games, and I am jealous.
I've never played a video game in my life, ever.
Really?
Never.
That surprises me. I have, like, I have, when I was a kid, I played, like, an off-road video game, which I crushed at, may I say. But as an adult, I've, like, never played any of the fun ones, which I should do.
I don't know. See, to me, it's kind of like the next dimension. I don't think our brains are perceiving. I think literally the next dimension is virtual reality. And so I'm scared that once I go into that, it's almost like my mom told me never to eat acid. So I never did. She was like, I was never the same after I ate acid. And I'm kind of nervous that going into video game world would be kind of like, once you see this whole new dimension and this whole new reality, then you could become obsessed with it and want to just live in it all the time.
Totally. Yeah, well, the 1975 boys showed me virtual reality, like, in a big headset.
Yeah.
It was wild. Like, you walk off of a building and
I saw
you fall.
That. Why would anybody do that?
It was kind of awesome. Like, it gives you the same, like, gut feeling of falling. And I'm obsessed with dreams, too. I think they're the closest thing to, you know, another dimension that we can get to. So it felt like that. And it felt kind of like a dream state too, where like, it's not all fully formed. Like, it's such early days of virtual reality that it's kind of like low rent. And that was even cooler to me. You know, I'm like stepping in a completely different world.
Well, the weird part is it feels real because you have this thing on your face. So you'll get that adrenaline rush of maybe kind of dying. Because I've seen the game where you're talking about, right? You, like, walk on a stick and then you fall off a building.
Yeah, my drummer Marshall, like, cried.
Oh, my God.
No. Yeah.
But, like, why do we all want to feel that way? That's so sick.
So sick.
But, yeah, that's kind of like one. I think dreams and virtual reality, those are the two things where I'm like, maybe that's the next dimension. Or maybe, like, that's visiting a different dimension. Or maybe we're all just a simulation. I'm trying to figure it out. That's why I started a podcast. I thought maybe you'd have some answers for me.
Well, I'm obsessed with anything that reframes your mindset, whether it's meditation or video games or dreams or taking a nice walk after being inside all day. Like, anything that changes your mood, or like if you've ever been to a James Turrell exhibit and you're like, why does this purple make me feel sad? Like, I love that shit.
I do too. Do you know Dan Flavin?
No.
Oh my, it's like this he's an artist that uses lots of neon, but it's so interesting what a color can do to your mood.
Totally.
And I love, like, I'm not at all an art snob. I just know that some things make me really happy and some things are scary, and you know, I like what I like. I think like everybody, which is why art is so confusing.
I know, I love that, cuz I've been trying to articulate this where I feel like it's easier for people to say what music they like because, or maybe it's just me, I don't know, but like I hear a song and I kind of immediately know if it's gonna affect me, and it might take a couple times to realize if it's my favorite song I've ever heard or not, but I've been in so many galleries looking at art where I'm like, am I supposed to like this? You know, like, what is this? And then I've also been brought to tears by a portrait in a random gallery and everybody's rushing by you, and that's so magical too. Like, I think that art, people need to trust their feeling on art. Otherwise, who would listen to a song and be like, it's stupid that you like this? Like, that person has some serious problems.
Oh, I get that about my songs all the time. I've been called a guilty pleasure for a long time, which I'm totally fine with. If people need to do it in private, it's fine.
Same.
Like, go listen to my records in private and have a great time. As long as it's like connecting and bringing somebody some sort of something, I'm like, great, whatever.
But I also feel like that's also a testament to how immediately effective your music is, whereas I get, like, boring all the time.
Oh, my God, your music is the least boring thing ever.
I think your music is the least guilty. Like who would be guilty of something that's just good? And I've always felt like guilty pleasures are kind of sexist. Like, it's just, like, this weird gatekeeping, like, if people like this and can dance to it, then you have to feel guilt about it. Like, I'm like, I don't want to go see your fucking noise rock band, bro. Like, you know?
Oh, my God. Preach. Preach. Or, like, maybe I do, but I also want to go see Britney Spears in Vegas.
Exactly, exactly.
And eat my dick.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
But your music is so not boring. There was one lyric where you're like, I miss you, like I'm a little kid, or just like a little kid. And like, I relate to that like deeply in my bones when I heard that for the first time. I was like, oh, like thank it's you. Like earth, heart, like I know that feeling. And I just love the feeling when you hear it come out of somebody else's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, fuck, that's exactly how I didn't even know I was feeling. And they just put it into words. And it's like both happy and sad and honest and like something I wouldn't necessarily have said myself because I'm not in touch with myself enough to know that I would feel that way. So I'm just like super fan over here. I think you're fucking great.
It's funny about music though. Like, don't you ever feel like when I wrote that lyric, I was like, fuck this person. I hate them. But that's not that's not a very interesting song. I should try to make it sound more complex than that or like add some new feelings. And so I wrote that, and then a couple months later, I had the perspective to realize I was, like, totally telling the truth.
Yes.
And I was like, that's
crazy. Do you ever feel like when you're writing a song that you don't even know what you're feeling until it literally falls out of your face, and then you listen to it, and you're like, oh, shit, I didn't know I was even feeling like that.
Absolutely. It's like when your therapist looks at you like, yo, like, what did you just say? Like, that's really fucked up, and you're like, what are you talking about?
I know that feeling really, really well.
Yeah.
And then I'll be like, wait, do I have something on my face? And she's like, no, that's just real fucked up.
Totally. Totally.
But that's for me when I write songs. I don't know if it's like this for you, but it is like therapy. It's like doing therapy for mass consumption and judgment, which mm-hmm. is the kind of sick masochistic part. But I really enjoy the, like, therapeutic exorcism of demon, like, demonic thing part. Like, the making of it to me is so fun.
Me too. And you meet people who connect with your most inner sort of subconscious thoughts in a real way and relate to you more than anybody. And you also alienate people who fucking suck. Like for me, I get a lot of, like, men's rights people on my internet, like, being like, fuck you or whatever. And I'm just like, this is awesome. I was like, I have, because I believe in my art and because I like did a therapy session and monetized it, like I am attracting the right people and pushing away the people I never want to speak to me or look at me, you know?
Oh my God. Fuck yeah. I'm going to butcher the quote, but Kurt Cobain said something along the lines of like, if you're homophobic or racist, and I forget what else, or just like more or less a piece of shit, don't buy my record. I don't want your money. And totally. That's how I feel too. I've been, I had the Westboro Baptist Church picketing outside one of my shows and I was so proud of myself.
Totally. Yeah. I love
I was
that.
Like, Mom,
I
look.
I love that shit. And I think it, especially as like a white woman in America, it can feel like I'm like riding this line of like benefiting so much from a system I hate. And so when, like, I posted this thing about abortion rights and like my actual fans were like, I think that you're a murderer or whatever, like people who like my music. And I was like, whoa, like you've been listening to my music? Like, that's
and like
crazy.
Like, how did you, I've had some weird experiences like that too, where I'm like, have you been listening to the words though?
Totally.
Like, Like, I've been pretty upfront with how I feel.
Well, Martin Scully, the guy who jacked up the AIDS medication prices and is, like, the most hated man of all time, he, like, quoted Conor Oberst's political band in an interview once. And Conor was like, what the fuck? Like, how did you hear my punk band and think this is, like, for you?
Oh,
like,
my God. That's so scary.
So scary.
You'd sing a lot about death and being raised. My mom's a total goth. She doesn't know, but she's a total goth. She loves talking about death. And, like, I guess I kind of am too. I sing quite a fair amount about dying. Do you think it's, like, something that drives you to be better? Or is it just something that freaks you out so much you want to address it? Or is it, like, all the things?
I weirdly think, like, thinking about death is very weirdly relaxing to me. Like, it's just, that sounds so emo, but, like, I have a lot of friends who write similar music to me, and death is, like, this constant obsession that keeps them up at night and stuff. I'm more afraid of, like, waking life. I'm way more afraid of life than I am of death, and it's never been an obsession, but I am obsessed with the things that people do in life, and I've been in love with a lot of people who are obsessed with death, so I think But as far as my relationship to death, I actually kind of feel like, you know, it's the most human experience, like, that we all go through at some point, and it's weird that we all have, like, a thing that is what kills us. But I think about it as, like, an abstract thing more.
I think about it all the time, not to sound like a total goth, but I think about how, like, relaxing it sounds.
Yeah, totally.
Sounds really relaxed. Like, I'm going to live a full life and enjoy my time on this plane in this body I've been given. I'm going to try to just have, like, a really good time in it. But, like, I've been reading a lot about the afterlife and what happens after, you know, and does your soul go somewhere, and do you come back, and do you reincarnate, or do you turn into a mushroom, or what? I don't know. Who fucking knows? Nobody knows. But I do, like, obsessively wonder about these things. But I hope that before I turn into a mushroom or a baby or an alien or nothing, I hope I get to take, like, a fucking nap. Like, a really long nap.
Totally. Like, can there please be some rest between now and the afterlife? Please.
Like, with no dreams. No dreams.
Yeah.
Just, like, a deep, dark, damp nap.
Totally. I love that.
But I do, I want to come back, and I kind of want to come back either as a mushroom or a whale.
Yeah. Or something. Yeah, mushrooms are something I've never understood and that are so ethereal to me. It would be cool to, like, the fact that they help trees communicate with, like, who's sick in the forest, it's so cool.
Mushrooms, I think? I don't know. Again, not a fully formed thought here, but I think mushrooms are maybe the key to higher consciousness, or maybe they're aliens, or I don't know. I just think there's something. Mushrooms are crazy little motherfuckers.
Yeah, there's something up with mushrooms.
There's something going on with them.
Do you know about thin places?
I think it's a mushroom? What is this?
It's a Celtic thing, I think. But it's basically, like, a thin place is the space, like, spaces on Earth that are closer to a spirit realm than, you know, it's like the place in between, basically.
Yes. Okay. Never heard that term before.
Obsessed. Obsessed. Like, I constantly am looking for, like, a beautiful hike to go on. And I feel like I never know when the feeling's going to hit me, but when it does, it's so magical. But yeah, mushrooms and, like, I'm obsessed with like fancy Erewhon, like, hot chocolates and stuff with, like, mushroom powder. Like,
yeah, I love that shit.
I just want to be closer to nature.
I feel like that my closest being in nature moment is, like, the most, what do you call it? The thin places?
Yeah.
So I get that way. I don't know how you feel about this. When I'm on stage and I have to be really, 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 really present.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. Yes.
That's one place. And then if I'm, like, in the ocean and there's like a shark or a whale or something, like anytime my adrenaline goes up, I feel like I have to be present. And being that present, I think, is like what you're talking about.
Totally. Yeah. Or if I have like a really, really intense crush.
Oh, I think I love a crush.
I love a crush. Like I feel like I don't give a fuck so much of the time. And, you know, I've also had the experience of like right before I go on stage or even being on stage and being like, oh, this is the 100th time I've done this. Like, I used to get adrenaline doing this and now I don't. But like those first couple shows or like the last couple shows and you're like accidentally totally in your body, I'm just addicted to that feeling.
Me too. The fully present, like, that seems to me like it's like being in touch with your highest self is when you're that present.
Yeah, and when you're like ready to be perceived also. I think that's what's also been hard about this year, like realizing how much I will let myself go mentally and physically if I am not being perceived all the time. Like if I put on my stage costume and I'm singing my hardest, I'm like, this is, I am presenting myself.
Yeah, like a peacock.
Totally.
But then like, do peacocks fluff up if there's no ladies to impress around?
Yeah. Yeah, true. If a peacock shits in the woods, does the Pope hear it?
Yeah. Does he fluff up? No, I don't know. If you have no one to fluff your feathers for,
totally.
Then do you fluff them?
Yeah.
And without the fluffing, who are you?
I mean, maybe if they had the internet. Like, I have friends who, during COVID, were like, I put on makeup today for some reason, but I know about it because they put it online.
Like, yeah. That is a nice place to dump some sort of, like, purpose. Is totally. Like online. If I need like a purposeful thing where I'm like, oh, I did a thing. I'm going to put it out there because I did this thing and everyone needs to know. I don't know why everyone needs to see it, but they do.
Yeah. I love that.
It's such a weird feeling because like that didn't exist when I was really little. Like there was none of that. Yeah. And so all of a sudden then being like, oh, every time I literally take a piss or change my shoes, I'm going to tell the whole world.
Totally.
All about it.
Yeah.
It's a weird life we're living in.
So weird.
My makeup artist was telling me, wait, I'm going to fuck this up. Have you heard about the Icelandic volcano activity that maybe is sparking 100 years of activity of volcanic eruptions?
No.
Basically, do you think this is the end of times?
I think I've always, like more than death or anything, I've always felt like the end of times were coming.
We arrived? Are we there?
I don't think we're so lucky. I think we have some more years. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's going to be so much destruction and stuff before the end of times for real.
So I think my obsession with death has led me into wanting to lead an extraordinarily exciting life because I'm like, we maybe come back or maybe we turn into a mushroom. So the death pushed me to do a bunch of crazy shit this lifetime. In the process, I've got addicted to that feeling of like that adrenaline feeling you're talking about, but also just being super, super present, like having to be super fucking present. So I like love swimming with sharks and stuff. I like doing things that like maybe could kill me, but then when it doesn't, I'm like, oh, that was awesome.
Damn. I wish I could I saw a shark in the water in Malibu once and I like didn't get in the ocean for like a year. So
really, like the opposite reaction.
I'm way more scared of pain than I am of death. Like, yeah, I'm afraid of discomfort and pain so much more than death.
But like, isn't pain necessary to write music? Am I the only one that thinks this? I feel like it's like absolutely necessary when I'm writing music.
Yeah, I think pain is necessary, and I definitely don't avoid emotional pain as much as I should. But
physical pain.
Yeah.
So you don't have any tattoos?
I love tattoos.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. I just mean like unpredictable, uncontrolled pain. Like even
a shark bite.
You like a shark bite. Or even I went surfing a couple times and I got like crushed by a wave and like hurt my lower back. And I was just like, ow, for like 3 months. I hate that. but I love getting tattoos. It's like controlled and you're like, so many people do it. You know, like it's fine. You're fine. Yeah.
It's totally fine. People have been doing it since the dawn of Well, I don't actually know. This is not a fact. People get tattoos, and I think it's been recorded for a very, very, very long time.
Totally.
So I have a bunch. I kind of wish I hadn't got some of them, I got to be honest.
Really? I think if you only have incredible tattoos, you're a cop.
A serial killer.
Totally. Like, I think, or you are a barista and you
add intelligentsia.
Exactly. Like, I think bad tattoos are a part of life.
They tell a story.
Yeah. And also, like, who gives a shit? Like, it's not going to keep you up at night at a bad tattoo. Like, you're just going to be like, oh, this is my bad tattoo. Like, I love those people, you know? Like, check out my friend Griff in Dawes. He plays drums, has a basketball going into a hoop that says swoosh.
Oh, no.
It's like incredible. It's like written like a child, too. I have no idea who did it, but that was amazing.
Did he know it was bad going into it?
I honestly have no idea, but I love his just like, oh, yeah, here's my horrible tattoo.
Oh, I have so many worse ones. I have narwhals dancing on my arm.
See, that's awesome.
Here's the worst tattoo I have. It says on my fucking arm, it says chill.
I love that.
I hate it. There's honestly nothing about me that is chill.
That's true.
What the fuck was I thinking? What?
Like honestly, the truth for so many, like the answer to so many questions is chill. You know?
That was my reasoning behind it. But like, I don't have that part of my brain has not yet been activated.
Right. My friend Haley, who's in Sloppy Jane, this awesome band, has a tattoo on her inner thigh that says scratch and sniff.
Oh my God.
And she was like, and so many people when she was getting it were like, what about when you're old? And she was like, especially when I'm old.
Oh, I love an older person with shitty tattoos. Like I once met this guy when I went to Sundance, like way before I ever had like any money. So I'm walking in the snow. I find a $100 bill. I feel like a fucking baller. And this guy is like, do you need a ride? Shouldn't have taken the ride. Took the ride. He drops me off at my place. Everybody lives. He's like, you want to see all my tattoos? He is covered in tattoos of people in different sexual positions, just having sex all over his body.
Wow.
It was disgusting.
That's interesting. That's an interesting gross move. Yeah, that's fucking gross. I am still on the daily hunt for my lower back tattoo, though. Like, I
have. Oh, you don't have one yet?
No.
You could get chill.
I could get
in
chill.
A different language.
Oh, true. Yeah, I should get chill in a different language.
Like one that you don't speak and probably maybe it'll be spelled wrong. And
totally.
I have a tattoo gun. Okay, wait. I have like a couple stupid, stupid questions. If you don't like one, say pass. If you like one, you can answer it. Cool. Okay. If you had a cult, what would your manifesto be?
Chill. Kind of, though. It would kind of be like chill or live, laugh, love or something. Like, it would just be like, you know, it wouldn't have any creepy sex or any mandatory anything other than just like relax, you know?
I love that. I would join. I would not know how to chill, but I would try.
Totally. Well, that I think it would be for those people, like people with trauma or people with like no chill. It would be like
no chill.
Here's how to chill.
Oh, you're going to have to write a handbook so I can follow it like any good cult.
Totally.
Give me some step-by-step instructions.
But we still have to shave our heads.
Damn it. I already did that once.
I think
it really
fine.
Was not fitting on my face.
Yeah.
Have you ever shaved your head?
Yes, and my head is shaped weird, so it was not great. But I liked the, like, fuzzy in-between part. Maybe that would be what we do.
Yeah, that was cute. I used to get, like, shapes and shit in mine.
Totally.
Okay, would you like to start a secret conspiracy on this podcast?
I mean, I feel like once it's on the podcast, it's not secret, but...
I know, that's, like, the double-edged sword of having a podcast.
This is not my own, but the one conspiracy that I'm kind of down with is like chemtrails. I'm like,
you sing about them.
Yeah. I'm like, I can see that happening once or twice. I'm not saying that every time you see them, it's poison, but I was like, I can totally see them at one point in history poisoning a neighborhood and being covered up. Like I could totally see that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like the serial killer conversation, I just don't put much past people because they're totally. Such exactly. amazing people, and then they're fucking scary people.
Exactly.
Okay, so chemtrails. And, okay, last question. What's invisible that you wish people could see?
Ooh, I love this question. I wish people could see when the other person didn't want to be having small talk. Like, I feel like so many small talk conversations are both people are in hell and they don't know how to stop it. So I wish there was, like, a conversation prompt that's just, like, you know. Like, I love bonding with someone at a party over, like, oh, I hate it here. Or I just had the worst conversation. Like shit talking and gossip, I think, is really actually healthy and important. So I wish people could see, like, their like-minded person, or, like, see social anxiety more, or see, like, yeah, just, it would be easier to match up with people and hang out.
Yeah, have, like, the brethren of hatred of small talk, where you have, like, shine a light, or there's a button where you're like, get me out. I want out.
Totally, totally. Yeah.
I just wish people could see what color I am, because I feel like I'm turquoise. I have a turquoise heart, and my aura is turquoise, so I wish people could see my turquoise aura.
I want to know what my aura is. I totally see turquoise for you. That's awesome. Thank you. Yeah.
But you're Leo, so that's a fire sign, so you might be, like, gravitated more towards the oranges and reds, but maybe not. Yeah. I don't know. I know somebody that can take your aura photo, though. It's fucking amazing.
I'll send it over.
It's great. Yes. You should have to definitely report back and tell me what color you are.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for just, like, bullshitting with me. I'm such a fan, and hopefully I'll meet you in real life one day.
I know. I would love that. Thank you so much. So fun.
Oh, my God. Thank you. And congratulations on being nominated for a bunch of Grammys and making awesome music and just being you.
Thank you. Fucking rule. Yay.
All right. Keep on creeping on. Thanks, everybody, for listening.